Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to The Waves, Slate's podcast about gender, feminism, and pretty guardians who fight for love and for justice. Every episode, you get a new pair of feminists to talk about the thing we cannot get off our minds, and today you've got me, Vic Whitley Berry. You might recognize my name because you often hear it at the end of the show, in the credits. I'm one of the producers of this show. And today, I'm getting behind the mic to talk about something very near and very dear to my heart, anime. Including the group of friends who helped kick off my love for the genre, Sailor Moon. Later on in the show, I'll be talking with journalist and video essayist Princess Weeks. She's an anime fan like me, and the perfect person to talk about what gender has to do with this media. And let me tell you, gender has so much to do with it. So, one of my first memories of watching anime, my spark anime, if you will, happened when I was in grade school. Probably second or third grade, maybe. I was sleeping over at a friend's house, and she had this really cool older sister who was in middle school. So, duh, we wanted to be a part of everything she was doing, and she didn't want anything to do with us. We were staying up late, as is the law for sleepovers, and we snuck into the living room where my friend's sister was watching Toonami, which at the time was kind of like Cartoon Network's version of late night TV. Now, Toonami was really the place to go if you wanted to watch anime before there was streaming. And she was watching this show from the 90s called Inuyasha.
Inuyasha? Shouldn't we be staying?
Should we?
The villagers, they think Jinenji's been eating people. You know they do. Maybe he is different, but that doesn't mean that he's guilty.
But that's what it does mean when you're different. Nobody trusts you. You're always the first to be blamed, and it is always, always your fault.
This show completely captured me. It's about a modern Tokyo girl who gets sent back hundreds of years in time and meets the antihero, Inuyasha. I had never seen anything like it before, and I was especially drawn to Inuyasha. Who is this boy? Teen? I'm not sure. I loved his long white hair, though, and he had this big sword that he fought with that I guess had powers. I mean, he definitely had some kind of magic. Apparently, he was a half-demon. Oh yeah, and he also had ears. That was really all I could remember about the show before my friend's sister kind of kicked us out. Apparently, this show was, quote, too adult for us. But I could not get this image of Inuyasha out of my head. I had never really seen a show like that before, especially not an animated one. In the US, animation is primarily used for children's content. That and spoofy sitcoms like Family Guy and Bob's Burgers. I mean, no shade to those shows, I also enjoy them too. But what I mean is, the options for animated entertainment in America are just limited. And that is not the case for Japanese anime. Broadly speaking, there are two different types of anime and manga, which manga is the Japanese comic books and graphic novels that much of anime shows are based off of. So first off, we have shonen, which is manga and anime marketed to boys, and shoujo, which is marketed to girls. And with these two broad categories, there are tons of subgenres. We have high fantasy anime, drama anime, comedy, slice of life anime, romance, cooking competition shows, sports anime. You can even find porn. Basically, if you could think of a genre, there's probably an anime about it. As I've become more of a fan of anime as an adult, I've really come to notice all the different ways gender gets played through this type of media. I especially found this true watching shoujo anime, or anime that's marketed to girls. Let's take Sailor Moon again. Within both the original manga and the two anime adaptions of the story, we have this couple. Their names are Sailor Neptune and my favorite Sailor Guardian, Sailor Uranus. Both of them are femmes. Both are canonically in love, regardless of how the English translation basically bastardized their story by making them cousins when the show originally came to the States in the 90s. Which, gross. I mean, can you imagine telling this to your cousin?
A world where kids never grow up?
But if you don't reach adulthood, then you can't enjoy life's pleasures. Isn't that right, Uranus?
I simply cannot imagine an American animated show, especially one from the 90s and early 2000s, showing flirting like this between a couple that isn't straight. And honestly, this little comment from Sailor Neptune is pretty tame. There are a ton of other examples where anime and manga have played with relationships and gender in ways that American media don't, especially animation. And I'm not the only one noticing these differences. Since I first watched Inuyasha a decade or two ago, anime has shot up in popularity in the US. This is thanks in part to streaming, so viewers don't have to stay up late sneaking in on their older siblings watching Toonami anymore. In a 2020 survey, nearly 30% of US adults aged 18 to 29 reported viewing anime regularly. So as more Americans are becoming anime fans, I wanted to talk to an expert who cares about this stuff just as much as I do. When we come back, we're going to be talking with journalist Princess Weeks about all of the ways anime pushes boundaries when it comes to gender and relationships, and in the ways it can hold us back. Don't go anywhere. Hey, Waves listeners. If you're loving the show and you want to hear more, subscribe to our feed. New episodes come out every Thursday morning, and while you're there, you should check out our other episodes too. One of my favorites from this year was when guest host Kat Chow interviewed journalist Rachel E. Gross on the sexist history behind naming the female anatomy. We're also recapping The Golden Bachelor, which comes to its dramatic conclusion this week. You will not want to miss it, so have a listen.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back to The Waves. I'm Vic, and I'm joined now by YouTuber Princess Weeks. Princess, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me back. This is really exciting.
So, Princess, before you joined, we talked a little bit about My Spark Anime, which was the first piece of anime that really made me become a fan. And so I, of course, need to know, what was your Spark anime?
So my Spark anime is always going to be Sailor Moon. It was before I even knew what anime was. I think it just was so different from how I'd seen girls on TV, especially like that big ensemble. I had missed, you know, Gem and She-Ra by a couple years. So it was the big series growing up where I was like, girls who were super powerful, but also very feminine. But then also tomboy, shout out to Sailor Jupiter and Uranus. And so it was like the first super femme queer experience I'd had with the show. And I think it's been like it's like imprinted on my spirit. And so like, no matter how old I get, I'm like, it all comes back to Sailor Moon.
That like fills my heart up so much because Sailor Moon is also, I returned to Sailor Moon more as an adult as I started to like really watch anime. So like that also, and Sailor Uranus is really big for me. But I would love to know a little bit more of how did Sailor Moon and that first encounter for you for anime really have an impact on yourself as a fan of the genre and yourself as a fan of media period?
Well, you know, I really think that Sailor Moon to me has always been like my North Star in terms of like what I like for characters, and each incarnation of it is so different. Like the anime is so different from the manga than from the live action show that we never got a proper distribution for here in the States. Still mad about that. But I think Sailor Moon for me really emphasizes the way that like women and femmes could lead a series and become really popular without having to sacrifice any of the traditional markers of femininity. Like they were allowed to be hyper femme. I think while the anime didn't often go as far into the non-binary identity of Uranus, I think that even when I would read the manga, it was so like shocking to me to have like this very queer character exists so forwardly when, you know, here in the States, we're just slowly getting to that kind of representation. Like even the way they describe Uranus is like not entirely male nor female in like the 90s is just like wild to think about. And I think it always gave me a really deep respect for the messed up and like, but yet very queer and femme focused nature of shoujo, especially shoujo in the 90s where you had people like, Yu Watabe, I apologize if I'm saying that name wrong, who I believe came out as non-binary in the last couple of years. And they did Fuji Yugi and series, The Celestial Legend. And just, I really loved how those shows were allowed to be dark and just unapologetically female-led in what they did, especially because I feel like shonen takes up so much conversation and it's so male-dominated in not just the fact that it's like, you know, male leads, but that the female characters are truly awful like half the time.
For a little bit of context, shoujo and shonen are like the kind of two broad categories of anime and manga as well, where shoujo is the overarching audience, is like tween girls, younger girls, and shonen is the overall audience of tween teen boys. One of the things about anime that when I tell people who haven't really watched it before is like the US animation is pretty siloed here. Animation here is like either exclusively for children with quote-unquote children themes, or it's like slapstick goofy sitcoms like Family Guy and Bob's Burgers. But the thing about anime is that basically any sort of genre that you can think of, there is an anime of that genre. I am very compelled by how animation can take on those different forms of genre and be really expansive and creative on it in ways that, like, frankly, a live action form of a show really can't. As someone who's been watching, who's been a fan of anime for a while, how has the perception of anime, from your view, kind of maybe changed or grown here in the States?
Well, it's definitely grown into a major enterprise. I mean, like, I remember people saying that during the pandemic that Crunchyroll was doing numbers because people were just binging so much content. And I think as an American Black person, I really think that the Black community as well, through sites like Hypeland and through like the way that we have also infused like a lot of the streetwear aesthetic into anime has been a really big thing. I think for all intents and purposes, I think that Naruto really broke a lot of barriers, even though Fruit Baskets technically broke a lot of those barriers first, but it gets less attention because it's a shoujo. But I think Naruto, because it's been on for so long, like it was on when we were young, when we were kids, and you know, something like that, or something like One Piece, which when I was 14, my sister tried to get me into One Piece, and now her daughter is into One Piece, and it's still not finished. Because that's how powerful One Piece is. And I think that because of like social media as well, and especially TikTok. TikTok and anime has like a really great relationship because people are like that AMV culture that used to be on YouTube that no longer thrives there is now on TikTok. And I think that, you know, more audiences are finding each other and it's just a lot less stigmatized. I think that it started with Ghibli, I think, showing that like a lot of this work could be very like high quality
and getting awards for it.
Yeah, again, I mean, for an Oscar. And I think also like our generation of people are now creators, so you have shows like Adventure Time, very anime inspired, the new She-Ra, the Owl House. So you have a lot of those creatives who were inspired, especially queer creatives, who saw themselves in things like Cardcaptors and Sailor Moon and Revolutionary Girl Utena, are now making art that references that. You know, Jordan Peele talked about in Nope being inspired by Evangelion, and you know, he homages the Akira bike slide. So a lot of this is sort of like also our generation that already appreciate anime now getting to make work and get funding and putting our anime nonsense into it.
And we're, of course, going to get really deep into this, but I would love your initial thoughts of, particularly when it comes to gender, how would you compare anime's representation of gender and relationships, particularly like women and femmes, compared to other animated media? Like, what comes up for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I think that, like, as a Westerner, we kind of assimilate what we're seeing into how we put our politics in. So I just want to put that as a disclaimer, because I'm sure that, like, in Japan, there might be a different context for some of these gender presentations. But so in the West, going back to, like, one of my OG crushes, Shishomaru from Inuyasha, I remember just being blown away by, like, how beautiful he was while still being presented as, like, totally masked. Like, you have this long, flowing, silver-haired guy carrying a boa, with, like, natural shadow, just completely snatched. And he's, like, one of the most coolest characters ever. There's almost a drag-like quality to the way that he appears. Like, if someone wore that to RuPaul's Drag Race, I'd be like, that fits in perfectly. And I think there's a lot of very masculine characters that fall into that Bishonen, like, which was also just very much, as a little baby bisexual, like, why do I love all these pretty men so much? I don't understand. So I think, you know, we talk a lot about the way in which men dressing up as women, especially Black men in this country, is, like, rude in a lot of, like, sexist, sort of, like, misogynoir tropes, versus, I think, like, this, you know, discussion of, like, men who wear dresses. I think even in Inuyasha, there's a character, I think they maybe his name Jokotsu, and they are, I believe they identify as male, but they present and dress as female. And that was treated, they were presented in, like, a really cool way. They were, like, part of this team of bandits. They had a best friend. There was no, like, gay panic about, like, that character. So there's a lot of those things that I think would be interesting, because I think it's been evolving for a long time. But again, I think it's also important to recognize that just because we do see these things in Japanese media does not necessarily give us a full insight into what it means to be, like, queer in Japan. You know, we're seeing a lot of this, like, really these, like, revolutionary queer things here, and they seem revolutionary to us because of what we are comparing it to. But I think it's just important to remember that, like, LGBTQ rights in Japan are not the same. There's not a lot of legal protection for a lot of LGBTQ people in comparison that what we might feel. And it's getting better, obviously. But I do think it's important to not allow ourselves to kind of, like, fetishize that representation as inherent of, like, what it's like for a Japanese queer person.
That context is very important. Just because you can see it more, like, gender expansion and queer representation in anime, doesn't necessarily translate to what it's like to be a queer person there in Japan.
I don't even believe that they have same-sex marriage in Japan as of yet. And there's a lot of, like, even though they do allow the right to change your legal gender, you have to undergo surgery. I believe you have to be unmarried and have no children under 18. So it is still sometimes at times a very conservative country in that regard. And I think that, you know, the art and the way that it plays with gender is interesting that it comes out of that. But then again, we are also a relatively conservative country and we still have RuPaul's Drag Race. So it's really like art is not necessarily legislation.
We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to dive even deeper into how gender plays a role in anime and anime fandoms as a whole. And if you want to hear more from Princess Weeks and me on another topic, check out the Slate Plus segment. This week, we're going to be talking about a deep cut from Princess's YouTube page. And it's all about shipping and fandom and all of the stickiness that comes with that. So please consider supporting the show by joining Slate Plus. Members get benefits like no ads on any Slate podcast, you won't hit the paywall on the Slate site, and bonus content for shows like this one. To learn more, go to slate.com/thewavesplus. Welcome back to The Waves. I'm Vic Whitley Berry, and I'm here with Princess Weeks, and we are going to continue our conversation about anime. And anime has really been an eye-opener of just how, like, the possibilities of both gender and gender presentation can have. And we talked about Sailor Moon, and I want to dive into Sailor Moon even more because it's spectacular. A little bit of background, Sailor Moon is a 90s anime and manga. It's currently being revived right now in partnership with Netflix a little bit. It's being reanimated. When we meet Sailor Uranus and her girlfriend, Sailor Neptune, they're iconic. One of the things that I remember hearing is Sailor Neptune basically saying that Sailor Uranus, or her public name, Haruka Tenno, has both the strength of both a man and a woman.
Please, don't look so sad, Princess. Honestly, I didn't mean to confuse you.
Uranus is not one gender or the other, she is both. As a sailor guardian, she possesses the strength of both a man and a woman.
In the language that I would use, is like, this might be like bi-gender representation, or like gender expansive, gender non-conforming representation. It really astounds me in such like a good way that, I mean, Sailor Moon is targeted for girls, for teenage girls. And like to have a show for teenage girls and femmes that is both so honest about a queer relationship, as well as one of those members of a queer relationship being more gender expansive, is really awesome. We can talk about this relationship, or just like how anime has specifically taken on LGBTQ plus representation in your view through its entertainment.
Yeah, for sure. I think that, you know, Uranus and Neptune is really special to me, as it is to many, you know, young queer kids. I think that the Outer Scouts are like this amazing polycule that I wish I could just snuggle myself in. But I think Uranus especially is really interesting because their relationship is like, especially when you watch like the Japanese anime, is like so very clear and explicit and like deep. They would die for each other, but they're also really devoted to this like sacred mission. It's really compelling. And I think with Uranus especially, people talk about like they're genderqueer, they're non-binary. And I think that all of those things can absolutely be true because of the language and the ambiguity that it was written within. But I do love the way that in certain shoujo, when they'll have kind of like this very like mask tomboyish character, all the girls are like absolutely simping. Like one of my favorite things about Utena is that like everyone, all the girls are like in thrall of Utena because she's so tough. I love that aspect of it. I think that anime and queerness is hit and miss in a lot of ways. I'm still deciding how I feel about it because, you know, as a queer woman, a lot of Yuri really sucks. It's not the best.
And for those who don't know, Yuri is the genre of Japanese media that focuses on intimate relationships between female characters. All right, continue.
Yes. There is this element sometimes of you kind of feel as if the reason why it's sometimes more present and they get to kiss more is because it's kind of treated as like juvenile, as if like, yeah, you're just expressing yourself. Yeah, it's okay for like girls to like kind of same idea. Like when you're like bi, people are like, oh yeah, well, like you're going to play around in college and just have a good time. There is an element of that I've seen in certain series. And then just a layer of like really toxic tropes. I think one of the most popular Yuri's that I've seen is called Citrus, and it's kind of bad.
And just as a side note, Citrus is a manga where the protagonist goes from really hating her stepsister to developing these like confusing romantic feelings for her.
Yeah, it's like, girl, I did not ask for all of this. Like, it's too many tropes on top of tropes for me to really get down with it. And I think that like it, a lot of the good stuff happens like in the background. Because I think it's also important to remember that, like, in Sailor Moon, Uranus and Neptune are, like, a side relationship. Although I do very much think that Usagi herself is very bi-coded.
Oh, yeah. And like, she has, like, kind of a crush on Sailor Uranus. And then, like, the very last season with the sailors, like,
the starlights.
I'm getting too deep. Yes, I'm getting too deep into it. But, yeah, I totally see what you mean. So you brought up, I love that you brought up the different genres that really are more open to leaning into LGBTQ like characters. And I, while you were talking, I kind of just realized that, like, a lot of the, I don't want to say like good versus bad representation, but a lot of the more open to nuance representation we often find in shoujo anime and shoujo manga, which is, again, geared for girls. I do think it's an interesting idea that it seems like a part of anime that makes it more digestible to have not straight, not cis characters. It feels more quote unquote passable in a subgenre of anime that's marketed for girls and femmes versus the anime that's marketed for boys and, like, the quote-unquote adventure anime. I find that to be interesting.
I think that, honestly, shonen in general has a massive romance problem in general. Like, all of their big couples are very much like, and we put them together at the end. They're not very well developed. They're not very good. So, like, I think that expands to, like, the queer couples as well. When it comes to shonen, it just, it really sucks at doing any kind of romance in general. And part of why I think there are such big queer fandoms around characters like Naruto and Sasuke or any of these other two guys together is because they only get really good development with, like, their male rival or, like, the other man there and their perspective. So it comes across as very queer because, like, this is the only person that you're interacting with. Like, you're not, you spend more time with Sasuke thinking about Sasuke than you do Hinata. So why would I be interested in that? And I think that's the other aspect. It's like, because it's four boys and they de-emphasize romance in general, you get a lot of, like, homoerotic subtext. You think you see this a lot in, like, Neon Genesis Evangelion. There's a huge queer subtext between Shinji and another character. There's also apparently a queer couple in Attack on Titan, but, like, they're not really that big into the series. So it's like, again, they're either on the side or they're in shoujo.
Right. Anime is not unlike other media where we, where it will lean into tropes that are frankly, like, not the best and cringy at best. And I wanted to talk a little bit more about how, especially when it comes to, like, gender and relationships, that you have seen where anime has more leaned into the taboo. I would love to talk a little bit with you about examples that come to mind for you.
Even as someone who isn't as, you know, vigilant about age gaps, there is definitely in anime, you'll see a lot of, like, significant ones. And I don't even mean, like, in a supernatural context. Like, Clamp is kind of infamous for, like, the teacher-student dynamic multiple times in the same book. And it's like, guys, we really got to talk about this. It's like, it's, but I think it's interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine. It's like, even as a kid, I was like, that's weird. You know, like, it wasn't as if I saw that and it was like, oh, that's idealistic. I was like, oh, but, like, she's 12 and he's a teacher. Like, that's not appropriate. There is a lot of sort of, I don't really know my feelings, but I'm in a lot of dubcon situations that force me to feel how I feel, which I saw happen a lot in Citrus, which was, like, a big turnoff. As well as the, like, you know, the step siblings, that's one bridge. The added that was a bridge too far. You know, it was already like, okay, I don't even really want to go cross over here. And those are kind of, like, the big ones that I see that are, like, really sort of frustrating. When it comes to, like, queer relationships, the biggest ones, the biggest one that I sort of, like, have a big issue is when it's treated by certain people as juvenile, when it's sort of treated as like, oh, like, you're just having fun. And it's sort of, like, downplayed in significance until, like, the very end. I also cannot stand the perpetual edging of, like, we're not going to actually comment about what happens. I really cannot stand that. Like, I don't need people to have labels, but I do want, if I'm being sold, like, this is a
a love story between two people. I want to see the love. I don't just want to see perpetual angst. And I think also would be when there are characters that cross-dress, and I don't even want to call them inherently trans, because that won't be the language that's used. And they are often still portrayed by male voice actors. And so I would hope that if they really were trying to present them as trans, they would correct that, especially in more modern dubs. But I do think there is sort of like a weird, not a weird, but I don't know how I deal with the conflating of drag and transness in certain series. I know in like Fruits Basket, there's a character who is born male and like constantly wears kimonos, and I believe still keeps a lot of like the pronoun usage is like still kind of wonky in terms of how they talk about these characters. And when it comes to the dub, those confusions are usually not smoothed over. They're kind of just more emphasized. So I would like for there to be, as it changes in Japan, for there just to be more conversation about like, okay, if we are going to be adapting this anime, what voice actor should really be getting these kind of roles? That to me makes me a little uncomfortable at times.
We have dived a lot into different parts of anime that we love and parts about it that we have complicated feelings about. And I feel like if we haven't convinced anyone to at least try anime at this point, I would love to get your sense of if there is someone, if you meet someone that is like thinking about getting into this media, what would you say makes it special? Where would you tell them to start?
In a lot of ways, it depends on what they're interested in. But I would say if you really just love a really strong, for example, if you liked Barbie, try Princess Tutu, because it also deals with like gender and fairy tales. If you liked Oppenheimer, maybe try Steins Gate, which also deals with kind of like a scientist figure dealing with time period. As you said before, there is something for everyone. And I think that if you come into it with an open mind, you will get a lot more out of it. And if you come into it, you're sort of like prepared to criticize it. I love Sailor Moon, but I'm always reluctant to share her with more people because she means so much to me. And when people like reduce her to be like, oh, she just gets saved by her boyfriend all the time, I'm like, that's not true. That's slander. I will sue on behalf of her estate. I say like there's something for everybody, but if you want to start with something, if you really want to guarantee they're going to be in, start with something like Akira, Perfect Blue, which are like excellent films, Studio Ghibli for the kids. And then when they're ready, when they have reached peak, you know, wokeness, they can then look at Sailor Moon and appreciate her glory.
Princess Weeks is a journalist. She covers culture and fandom and a bunch of other cool stuff. You can find her work on her YouTube channel. Just search her name, Princess Weeks. Princess, thank you so much for joining the waves.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really fun to talk about.
That's our show this week. The Waves is produced by me, Vic Whitley-Berry, and senior producer Shanna Roth. Daisy Rosario is our senior supervising producer, and Alicia Montgomery is vice president of audio. You can follow my work at my website, victoriahartwhitley.com, or on Twitter, or I guess we're calling it X now, at underscore Tori Whitley. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at thewaves@slate.com. The Waves will be back next week. Different host, different topic, same time and place.